Have you ever eaten salmon liver? Anyone? Try it. It is excellent. Saute it quick. You can just crush it with your tongue. It's so soft.
Sampling the local Tlingit cuisine and a benefit dinner and auction for the Japanese disaster. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Burn Power. The recent massive Japanese disaster has inspired a local fundraiser in the form of a Japanese dinner and dessert auction. Ed Hayes explains.
So we decided to plan out a dinner, and it's on Tuesday, March 29th, beginning at 5:30 to 8 at the school. It's at the lunchroom. It kind of started out as a joke, but it's going to be a modest Japanese dinner. The menu is going to be oyakodon, which is a chicken and egg dish over rice. And this is a very popular, common dish in Japan. And then we're going to have a dessert auction after that. And so we were jokingly calling it a modest dinner with immodest desserts.
The immodest dessert auction is being organized by Mardell Gunn, with Joanne Waterman calling the auction. Mardell explains.
The idea is that we are having a modest meal with no dessert. And if you want dessert, you need to pay for it to help those who need a whole lot more than desserts. And so we are auctioning off desserts, and they're going to be beautiful, decadent, wonderful desserts by some of the best cooks in town. And they will be auctioned off through the night. There's some Douglas chocolate cakes. There are a couple of those. There's some baklava coming. They're going to be good desserts, and it's a great way to, you know, pass on some of our luxury of being able to afford desserts to those people who have lost everything. I can't imagine what it's like, and so I think it's a good opportunity for us to share some of our abundance.
Yuko Hayes is also coordinating the construction of a kind of quilt with messages attached.
We are going to ask people to write some message in a square piece of paper there, and then send it to Japan. Make it like a big quilt.
Yuko, knowing the Japanese probably better than most of us do, felt like, you know, that showing that support was really important.
I asked Yuko Hayes what she had been hearing from her relatives in Japan.
It just seemed like still continuing, so very stressful. And then hopefully they can make reactor under the control, and that's a very big concern, and people worrying about radiation right now. And my relatives, my family didn't have any direct damage, right. Just as they have blackouts twice a day or something. But my friends, everybody said, compared the people had direct damage, it's nothing. So they're very patient and try to be patient.
I'll just throw in a story. You can take it or leave it. But my friend, who I taught with for many years there, sent me an email the other day, well, a couple days after the earthquake, and he said that went to a truck stop to get gas, and he stopped in to pay, and he said there was this trucker there, just really down. You could tell he was sitting over his tea or whatever, and he sat down and talked to the guy, and the guy was from that area where the tsunami came through, and he had just delivered a semi-truckload of something to the Kobe area, and then the earthquake hit after he unloaded, and he went into a truck stop later in the day and watched his trucking company swept away with the tsunami, and then he watched his village swept away with the tsunami. You know, I mean, that was just one story, but my friend said he just couldn't stop thinking about that guy after that.
Wow.
And I'm sure there's tons of those stories.
That's the
one I heard about. And so that was kind of a, you know, just a very sad story about one person.
You can show your support for the victims of the Japanese earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear crisis Tuesday evening, March 29th, at the Haines School from 5:30 till 8 p.m. for a modest Japanese dinner and an auction of immodest desserts. Bring a bowl and a cup. A program of origami crane making, music, a Japanese sword demonstration, and information on Haines Tsunami Preparedness Plan will also be presented. The auction and program start at 6:15. Proceeds will go to the Red Cross and Mercy Corps. Have you ever tried herring eggs with hemlock needles or beach asparagus? Have you ever wondered what they tasted like?
It's very interesting. It tastes like the trees smell out in my yard with crunch to it. Did you get the hemlock taste?
Yeah, yeah.
They're very salty. I've had something similar to them over in Japan. I tried the beach asparagus?
Yeah.
This is very good. I like it very much.
On Thursday, March 24th, Helen Abbott Watkins presented More Than Fry Bread, an edible demonstration of local native foods at the Haynesboro Public Library. To begin with, she let us know that for her, the year did not start on January 1st.
I always like to emphasize that my new year for myself begins when the herring spawn. Everybody said, spring is here, herring are spawning. Another sign is when the skunk average start coming up out of the ground. That's my new year. Not January 1st when everything's frozen, people are falling. No, it's always in the spring is my new year.
Abbott Watkins then proceeded to enumerate the wide variety of local foodstuffs that ranged from earthy flavors to briny. She even described a kind of sweet chewing gum made from hemlock trees.
In early spring, he would cut a hemlock tree down and peel the bark off, cut all the branches off. And then he would scrape the cambium off of the tree. And I remember my great-grandmother from Huna would send a big quart jar of it. And she would send a slab of pressed black seaweed. And she'd send about maybe at 6 or 8 seagull eggs. And it was always a treat to get that. When we got the hemlock bark, my mother would give us the jar, would reach in there and grab a handful and chew it. It was very sweet. It was like a sweet gum treat.
She then took on a more personal tone to discuss the least understood Southeast Alaskan plant, the thorny devil's club.
I can't swear to what I'm going to tell you, but I'm a survivor of cancer. I had breast cancer twice. And when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, my husband Ray went out and collected devil clay for me in November. And we put it in a gallon of cold water and put it in the refrigerator. And I drank it every morning on an empty stomach. At that time, I gave up beef and I gave up coffee. Instead of having coffee, I'd have my Devil Club juice.
Helen Abbott Watkins then discussed the one Southeast Alaskan food that is, for many, the best reason to live in the region, the salmon. But have you ever tried salmon livers?
Of course, everyone in Haines has had salmon. But what do you use the whole salmon when you find salmon, when you catch salmon? Have you ever eaten salmon liver, anyone? Mm-hmm. Try it. It is excellent. Saute it. Quick. You can just crush it with your tongue. It's so soft. Sockeye. I dry all my sockeye salmon eggs. And I chop up the dried sockeye eggs and then tear up the coho eggs and add it to it. And this makes Indian cheese. And it takes a long process to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's firm, just like cheese when you slice it.
And then there are the many berries, including the pungent soapberry, which is certainly an acquired taste.
Then the berries come in. This is where the soapberries start, is in Haines. There's none in Juneau because it's too wet. Haines has perfect weather for soapberries. From Haines on up to Canada, so you'll find soapberries. And tonight, we're going to have two volunteers that will come and whip it and see which one comes out the best.
So berries are a Tlingit delicacy, which are whipped like egg whites into a frothy mixture. A sweetening agent is definitely recommended, as well as a sense of playfulness. Helen then brought out the egg beaters and started mixing them for our consumption.
So what did you think of the soapberries?
Oh, they were good. I don't have the art of adding the bubbles that Helen just demonstrated, but
can you describe what Helen just did as part of the soapberry art?
Once the soapberries are brought to the lips from the spoon, there's an inhaling and exhaling that occurs that creates kind of a movement, a wave of this pink foam, wonderful stuff.
I think we can say it looks like foaming at the mouth.
It does. It does. That's quite a good way of describing it. Foaming at the mouth with tasty soapberry.
Curiously, three local products now more widely known were not on the Tlingit radar in the past. Spruce tips, fiddlehead ferns, and mushrooms. And there is one local creature that is no longer looked at with quite as much culinary delight.
And we'd go out at night and drive to Mud Bay, and we'd look for porcupine. Has anyone eaten porcupine? In my younger day, we didn't have Game Boys. We didn't have television. We had to do, you know, make our own entertainment. So we used to go porcupine hunting. Whenever there a big porcupine was big enough to get, the boys would run out of the car and club it, kill it, and then bring it, put it on top of the car. I told Ray's brother about it. I said, that's what we did for entertainment. He said, that's what you call Alaska night clubbing. I love that. I would have a t-shirt with that.
For KHNS News, this is Bern Power.